Young Israel of Brookline, yibrookline.org.
Okay, so let's begin. We're beginning the book of Nehemiah. I have on the sheet Perek Aleph, which is only 11 psukim, and half of Perek Bet. So again, we'll see. I know it's late, so I'm not going to keep everyone here late. So we'll see if, I assume we'll at least get Perek Aleph, and we'll see if we do that part of Perek Bet as well. Okay, so we're beginning the book of Nehemiah. Just a brief introduction or word regarding the book itself. You know, many people are probably familiar that in the Jewish tradition, Masorah, Ezra and Nehemiah are one book. We say they're Chaf Dalet, Kisrei Kosher, 24 books of Tanakh. That's counting Ezra and Nehemiah as one book. And at some point, I'm going to explain these things. And really, it originally came from the Christian tradition to count it as two books, to divide it into two books. And now, you know, by, you know, for convenience, we refer to it in the sense, you know, if you want to reference a pasuk in the second parak of Nehemiah, so you say, oh, the pasuk is in Nehemiah, parak bet, pasuk gimel. What else are you going to say? I mean, if you say it's, you know, Ezra, parak, yud, dalid, right, which, like, no one will know what you're talking about. So, well, you know, honestly, probably is not right, you know, but, you know, what are we going to do? I mean,
so how do you refer to it before the Christians sort of divided up into prakim like that start with?
Yeah, in general, before they were prakim in general, you know, I mean, they were, the Rishonim basically have all the same parshas as we do. So, like, they'll say the beginning of parshas, whatever, and then parshas, whatever, but yeah, they don't have. Rashi, you know, Rashi still refers to Ezra Nehemiah as one book. And no one here is in our Sunday morning base this year, but it happened to be, we came across relatively recently, Rashi was quoting Pasuk in Nehemiah, and he says, oh, like it says in Ezra, because he didn't, you know, it was one book called Ezra, wasn't, yeah. And then in the parentheses, which added by more recent people, says Nehemiah.
Right.
Chet Dalet or whatever. Okay, now let's just read the first four words of Perek Aleph. Divrei Nehemiah ben Chachalia, as the way it's localized here in this pasuk. And these are the words of Nehemiah ben Chachalia. I mean, now we're going to have 12 or whatever it is, prakim, of, you know, the life and times of Nehemiah. And also he's writing in first person. So, I mean, you understand why someone sort of saw this as beginning of a new book. But again, according to our Masorah, it's really one book. Just two interesting sources, again, before we even begin. I guess it's a bit of an introduction. So if you turn to the back, so in the bottom, I just have two sources for you. So there's one Gemara, which actually asks, Nehemiah ben Chachalia, my taima, lo ikri sifra al shmei? Why didn't he get his own book? Why is he, you know, just incorporated into Ezra, and he doesn't get, like, a title, you know, a headline anywhere? His name is not, you know, on the marquee anywhere. So we'll see, before you see the Gemara's answer. Nehemiah, on the one hand, is viewed as a great leader, a tzaddik, a good person in our tradition, certainly. You know, many, Simon's Chazal reference that he was part of the Ashi Knesset HaGadolah. At the same time, we'll see he's not presented as the scribe, scholar, sofer, as Ezra is. Nehemiah is more of the, you know, national leader, you know, like a king or whatever. More of like a political leader. Now, again, he clearly wants everyone to keep the mitzvahs, and he's going to be, you know, also giving them rebuke and telling them we have to follow the law. But, right, he's more of a political leader. He's more of a political leader. Another question or comment? Okay, so let's see what the Gemara says. It's interesting. The Gemara says, though, Amar v'yirin bar Abba, mipnei shehichzik tova la'atzmo. It's a criticism of Nehemiah. We'll see the pasuk, but it means that Nehemiah was not sufficiently humble. He, you know, gave himself too much credit. Shehichzik tova la'atzmo. Shenemar, the pasuk says, we'll see this in context, Zachar li Elokai l'tova. God, remember me for my good, I mean all the good that I did. And we'll see in the context, the Gemara understands that to be as a bit of a boast. Okay? And the, let's continue. David nami meimor amar, but the Gemara says, David made also similar statement. Zachareni Hashem beratzon amecha, pakdeni b'shur zachar. Remember me, God, in the goodwill of your people, remember me for your salvation. So the Gemara says, no, David rachmi, David was seen as a prayer, you know, oh, please remember me, not as like, you know, a request for a reward or, you know, fame. And obviously the Mita Keneged Mita is, he was a little bit too self-promotional. And so Chazal Nishra as a punishment, so, you know, he kind of lost his name on the title of a book. Okay, that, or the Gemara continues, Rav Yosef Amar, similar, Mipnei Shesiper Beganusim Shel Rishonim, because he wrote about disgust in a way that disparaged the previous generation. Shneimar, the pasuk says, well, again, we'll see all these psukim. V'hapachot harishonim, and the first governors, the previous governors, meaning Jewish governors, Asher lefanai, that came before me, Nechemiah says, hichbidu al ha'am, they, you know, put too much of a burden on the people, v'yikhu mehem belechem v'yayin, achar kesef shkalim arbaim, whatever it kind of is, and they took money from them, whatever it was. And so he too publicly, you know, sort of criticized, you know, the previous governors. And again, in a similar way, you know, promoting himself. Lingmore says, Va'af al Daniel Shagadol Mimeno Siper. And in that, like, sweeping statement, he even caught up Daniel, because according to one mentor, Daniel is synonymous with whatever, Sheish Basar, one of these people that came earlier. And that was really wrong, meaning even if there were some previous governors, you know, that abused their powers, but he just sort of said, oh, all the previous governors, and that really, so Chazal view it as a punishment.
So was the writing in the two books, even the time
of the Gemara? No, meaning so the Gemara is saying, no, therefore it was one book, and really, we could have imagined, right, we could have imagined it to be two books, but we said, no, we don't want to give Nechemiah a whole book. We don't want to have a whole book named after Nechemiah. Let him be. Exactly. It's really, not only is it just generally against the tradition of Haggadah books, it's really against this whole sort of idea of Gemara. That's correct.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
If you have a book of the Tanakh named after you,
yeah.
Are you by definition a Navi or a lady Navi? Like Esther, presumably.
Gemara says Esther was a Navi, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it gets a little bit how you understand ksuvim, meaning is ksuvim a lower level?
No, but you have to have a name, if it's named after you, like Ruth or Dan. Well, Daniel.
Not necessarily.
You don't have to be a Navi. Was Ezra a Navi?
We don't find that he was a Navi.
No.
I mean, there are certain midrashim that Ezra was the same as Malachi, which would mean he was a Navi, but if he just Ezra himself. Okay, so let's begin. Nechemiah Perek Aleph. Divrei Nechemiah ben Chachalia. These are the words of Nechemiah. Vayi b'chodesh Kislev shnas esrim. It was the month of Kislev in the 20th year, which we'll see the 20th year of
the return to Jerusalem.
Artachshasta. Yeah, no, the 20th year of the reign of Artachshasta. And in Ezra the... We saw the Pesukim said that Ezra returned. Ezra went to Israel in the 7th year, I believe, of Artachshasta. So this is 13 years later. Vani hayisi b'shushan habira, and I was living in the capital of Shushan, the capital city Shushan. Right, so that's where, right, we know another story took place. So we know lots of Jews lived in Shushan. And we'll see another example of a Jewish person in the court. I read somewhere that there were still Jews living in Shushan, you know, I don't know, 1100, 1200, 1300. So there were Jews living there for, you know, thousands of years. So anyway, so.
Yeah, where is Shushan?
So I looked it up. It's actually in Iran nowadays. It's now.
Is there like a city there that you could.
So, yeah, I think so. I think in they call Susa, S-U-S-A. If you look it up, Google S-U-S-A.
And that's Shushan.
I think so, yeah. That's what I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although, as a Jew, you wouldn't want to go
there. Right, not. Yeah.
There's still Jews in Iran.
Not so many. I mean,
oddly enough, there's a Shushan in northern India, but it's not. This is Shushan.
Okay.
I think I saw a picture actually around Purim. I got, there's a, I think Mordechai's Kever is in Iran. There was, they make a pilgrimage.
You know about that?
Yeah, the current government makes a big deal that they're preserving it.
Mm. Mordechai, yeah. And maybe Esther is buried there too, I think.
It's
interesting.
Organize a shul trip.
Yeah, a picnic. A picnic.
Educational tour. Cultural exchange.
Preserving.
Look, we're good to the Jews.
Yeah.
Fact finding mission.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Pause it then. We have Chanani, Echad Me'achai, and so Chanani, Echad Me'achai, one of my brothers. So it's very vague. Does that mean literally? I don't know. One of his brothers, or does it mean? Doesn't mean literally a brother, but maybe like a relative. Or it means no. It just means another Jewish person. So this Chanani comes. Hu v'anashim miYehuda. He with a little bit of a group, an entourage, are coming from Yehuda. The Eshalim al haYehudim haPleita, and I was asking them about the remaining Jews, the remainder Asher Nisharum and Hashavi, that again had survived the captivity and had returned to Jerusalem. The al Yerushalayim, and I was inquiring about Yerushalayim, the city in general. Vayomruli, and they said to me, Hanisharim Asher Nisharu min Hashvi. Sham b'medina, a lot of shins in that pasuk. The ones who remained, who survived the captivity, who are there in the state, in the province. Bira'a gedola ubecherpa. They're in a very bad situation. The chomas Yerushalayim mifuretzet, and the wall, is broken, has been pierced. There isn't a wall around Yerushalayim to protect them. Usha'areha nitzitu ba'esh, and its gates have been burned by fire. And back then, again, the wall of the city and the gates were just very important practically and symbolically. Bahi kishamia tadvarim ha'ila, so when I heard all these things, yashavti va'evka, I sat and I cried, va'esabla yamim, and I mourned many days. The ahitzam umit palel, and I fasted and I prayed lifnei Elokei Hashemayim, before the God of Heaven. So he seems surprised by the report, or he wasn't aware of it to the degree that they described to him. And again, so this is 13 years after Ezra has gone up, and again, it seems like things just still are not good. We'll see in more detail what exactly is going on. But they just still can't get their act together.
And Ezra went long after the first couple weeks.
That's what we've been assuming, yeah. That's what we've been assuming. Again, there are different opinions in the chronology, but that's what many assume. That Ezra was like 50 or so years after they built the base of Megiddush. And now this is another 13 years. Okay. Va'omar, and I said, Ana Hashem Elokei Hashemayim, Hakel Hagadol Vahanora. He's missing Gibor. Shomer Habris Vahachesed LoOhavav LoShomrei Mitzvosav. These are all like phrases from the Torah in different places that he's just sort of putting together. So again, the Hashem the Mighty, the Awesome, who remembers His covenant and kindness to those who love Him and those who observe His mitzvot. Tihina Aznecha Kashavet. Let your ear hear. They nech up to chot and let your eyes be open. Lishmoa el tfilat avdecha, to hear the prayers of your servants. Asher nochim isbelo fenecha hayom, that I'm praying for you today. Yom v'layla, day and night. Al b'nei Yisrael v'decha, for your children of Israel, the children of Israel, your servants. Umisvada al chatos b'nei Yisrael asher chatanu lach, and I confess for all of the sins that we, the Jewish people, have sinned against you. Ani ubeit avi, I and my father's house, chatanu. Again, we did in Sirius, what does it say? Anu.
Anu va,
anu chatanu. So again, all these things sort of echo each other. And chavol chavalnu lach, we have harmed you. V'lo shamarnu et ha-mitzvot, and we haven't guarded the mitzvot, et ha-chukim, et ha-mishvatim, asher tzivita, all the mitzvot that you commanded, et Moshe avdecha, by Moshe, your servant. However, he says, zecharna et ha-davar, asher tzivita, et Moshe avdecha, But also remember that which you commanded to Moshe, your servant, Lemor, that you said in the Torah, it already predicts, Atem Timalu, you will rebel against me. Right, you will, this is better translation than rebel. How do they translate rebel?
Deal treacherously.
Okay, deal treacherously. That's not the word I was looking for, but okay. Ani afitz etchem ba'amim, and I will scatter you amongst the nations. I mean, if you sin, that's what it says in the Tochacha and Nitzavim and all the other. Vishavtem elai, that's the thing, an echo of a pasuk in Nitzavim, but you will return to me. Ushmartem mitzvot ha'asitim otam, and you will observe the mitzvot and perform them. Imiyani dachacha b'ksei ha'shemayim, misham akab sein, right? That's in Nitzavim, right? And even if you will be, you know, scattered, pushed away as far as the edges of the heaven, I will gather you from there. V'haviotim el ha'makom asher b'charti l'shakein et shmi sham, and I will bring you all to the place that I chose to make my name dwell there. V'heim avadecha v'amecha, and Nechem says, in God, these are your servants and your people. Asher padita v'kochacha ha'gadol v'yadcha ha'chazaka, you already redeemed them once, meaning from Mitzrayim, and using those phrases with a great strength and mighty arm. So an Hashem, so therefore please Hashem, tihinaz necha kashavad el tfilat avdecha, el tfilat avdecha ha-chafetzim li'yira et shemacha. So open up your ear, listen to the prayers of your servant and all of your servants who wish to serve you, to be in awe of you. The hatzlichana la'avdecha hayom, and make your servants successful today. Utenehu l'rachamim lifnei ha'ish hazeh, and please place mercy before ha'ish hazeh, this man or this person. Who is he referring to? Well, actually, it's right. He could mean himself. Himself, we'll say it means the king. I mean, he's about to, or the whatever, the Persian, right? Meaning, either let him be merciful or be merciful for me as I approach him. So, yeah. V'ani hayiti mashke l'melech, for I was the cupbearer to the king. Okay, and you know, it seems clear that you know that doesn't just mean he was like served the drinks, but he was like, I mean, this close confidant, you know, of the again, king is not the right word, the whatever,
sultan
or something like that. Yeah. Now it's interesting, let's flip back to page 2. So in the bottom, so this is a Rashi. We'll see Rashi's quoting a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Rashi again is in the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin. Hatir Shasa. So it's a word we've encountered in other contexts. The Pashup Shat is, it's some sort of Persian word that means some kind of ruler, governor, noble person, something
the
like
Pasha.
That.
Pasha. Is that, what do you call him?
Well, Hatir Shata.
Sorry.
Yeah. But anyway, so Rashi says, Nechemya ben Chilkia Chachalia Karoi came to say for Ezra. This is what the title is used for Nechemya. Here you go, in the book of Ezra. When he says Ezra, he means Nehemiah. Nehemiah doesn't appear in what we call the book of Ezra. Ubigamaras Yushalmi, in the Talmud Yushalmi Nimsa, the following can be found. Why was he called Hatir Shata? Okay, again, the simple understanding means that that's like a Persian word. But the Talmud Yushalmi says, Sha'al Shem Shahaya Mashke Lamelech. He was, again, the cupbearer to the king. Vahayat Sarech Lishtot Kodem Shelo Yechashduhu. And so he, part of his job also was he had to taste every wine.
Wow.
Exactly, yes.
Like Tirosh.
Interesting, we'll see. Let's see.
That's a brand, I think.
Well, so, Shema Hitil Samamavis, maybe there was a poison, Bamashka. Hamelech. Okay, maybe there's a poison. And in fact, I'm not sure if this is clear in Tanakh or just in the history books, the father of Artaxerxes was assassinated. I'm not sure if it's through a poison, but he was, in fact, killed. And they point out, even like in Megillas Esther, like Big Tan and Teresh, there's, you know, their plots to, yeah.
Unsheathed.
So let's see, if you don't continue, so what's the question? So Nehemiah is the cupbearer, and he's drinking every cup of wine.
Doesn't mean all of them are kosher.
Right, so was it kosher wine? So you could have said, again, if it's wine that was actually used in religious service, so that would be forbidden on a Torah level. Presuming that it wasn't wine that was actually used in religious service, so still, though, if it's not made under Jewish auspices or other contexts, midrabbanan, nowadays, you know, right, midrabbanan, you know, wine is not kosher, so I need a hechsher on the wine. So you could have said they didn't have that rabbinic law yet, meaning that would be reasonable. But the Talmud Yishami apparently says like this. Talmud Yishami says, no, it was already forbidden to have wine, you know, not produced under Jewish auspices. And again, back then, really, the concern really was much greater that wine was being used, you know, for, you know, in pagan services. Yeah. So anyway, so Rashi quotes, according to Yishami, he says, but he tiru lo yayin shel ovdei kochavim lishtot, meaning because since he had this really prominent position, they made an exception for him. They let him do it. Lakach nikra hatir shata. And that's why it's called hatir shata. So I thought it actually, it was like hitir heter.
Yeah.
And then I thought, and shata lishtot. But maybe it actually is even, I don't know, a combination of heter and tirosh also. I'm not sure, because tirosh also doesn't mean wine. So I don't know. So, but I read as heter like lishtot, yeah. Heter shota, something yeah. like that. Yeah. But anyway,
maybe
so.
Just
yeah, so again, on one level, it is just a Persian word, but the Chazal, it probably did go through some Hebrew-sizing as it like got into Tanakh. So, anyways, that's another.
So, that had to be based off the fact that it was like Mr. Nefesh thing, or the fact that it was, you know, a very prominent government official, and we didn't want to have, you know, like bad. You know,
I assume something like that, or we think it's good for. Some of that time thought, yeah, I think that's how I understand it, but I'm not sure. I don't think it's not clear in Rashi. I don't know. I didn't look up the Talmud Yishami.
Today, for example, if you were living in, not at the rounds of the United States, but, you know, some country, sorry,
yeah.
last Jew in Saudi Arabia or Kansas,
right.
and, you know, you somehow managed to become the, you know, cupbearer for the king.
Yeah.
Would you be presumably allowed, in the senior position, to be a little more, you know,
yeah, probably. I mean, again, all these cases are like so.
The chaser, they don't theoretically they don't drink alcohol, but the food, yeah, the food might be different too.
Yeah. And if there's obviously there's a real pikuach on nefesh, I'll tell you what. Someone was telling me, not now, but this was a little bit ago. I'm not sure what I mean, like in our lifetimes, but I'm not sure how many years ago. It was one of these times that someone did something stupid and they were taking something on planes they should be taking on, and they had a stop over in Russia, and then the next thing they knew they were in jail in Russia. You know, and like a young person, you know, so different people in the community were, you know, they're trying to get senators and congress people to, like, you know, exert influence to try to help them. And they needed someone. They had to write certain letters by certain times, and it was like the deadlines were very important. And they wanted a certain specific person to write the letters, and it was like the exact diplomatic language, the right like buzzwords, or just like, you know, it's not exactly the same thing.
Not to drive a Mack truck through the jail, right?
But the reason why I bring it up, the person said, you know, like, I don't know if I can like get this done in time. And they said, well, we asked whoever they asked, and they said, it's considered pikuach nefesh, and you should just work on it on Shabbos.
Interesting.
So if there is real pikuach nefesh.
Also, redeeming
Pidyon
Shvuyim.
Yeah, for sure.
Which allows you to do a lot of things.
Okay. All right. So we did it. We already did all Perek Aleph. So we could start Perek Bet. Okay. Vayhi b'chodesh Nisan. So the first Perek began in Kislev. It is now Nisan. Shnas Esrim la'artachshasta hamel. The 20th year of Artachshasta's reign. Same year. Sorry. Very good. Very good point. Okay. I was going to ask if anyone. So. the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that Jewish kings, the new year, the years of the reign are kind of from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but non-Jewish kings, the reign is from Tishrei. You know, they can write whatever they want in their books, but in our books, we right. So you see, very good. This is an example that since he's talking about the reign of Artaxasta, so it goes by Tishrei exactly. So it's still, even though they've crossed Nisan, it's still the same year of the reign. Excellent. So, but let's see here. How many years of Kislev? So like before months have passed. So for 4 months he didn't do anything. He was like really upset. But he hasn't done anything for 4 months. Yayin lifanav. And there was wine before him, meaning there's some sort of, you know, party banquet, right? The same, this, you know, as described in more detail in Esther. Va'esa et yayin, so I lifted up the wine. Va'edna lamelech, and I'm giving it to the king. Velo haiti ralafanav. And normally I would never be in a bad mood or, you know, displaying any kind of sort of negativity in front of him. Vayomer li hamelech, but the melech saw me, and he says to me, madua panecha ra'im? Literally, why is your face so... I'm interested in how they translate it. Yeah, why is thy countenance sad? Now, Vata incha chole, you're not sick. Ein ze kim roa leif, it must be that you have, how do they translate this?
Sorrow
of the heart. Now, the reason why I was looking at the translation is in the classical Mefarshim, there are two approaches. Some understand that it just means the king was just like sincerely concerned for him. He liked Artaxasta. He was like his, you know.
Drinking.
Well, yeah, exactly. Wow. And he was actually asking, like, what's wrong? Like, you know, out of concern. But others understand that, know that Artaxasta meant this, or at least the Chamiel was worried he meant it this way, that he was suspicious. Meaning, why are you, I can tell you're not acting around me the way that you normally act around me. And you're not quite as comfortable. Right, and Artaxasta was suspicious, or at least Nehemiah is worried that Artaxasta is suspicious, that he's got some scheme going on. And I'm just saying that, and remember, he's like the last line of defense, you know, so, you know, if you're a cupbearer, if someone turns your cupbearer against you, you know, that's how you are going to sneak in some poison. So, because the puzzle concludes, Va'ira harbe ma'od, and I was really frightened. So that, it's not, Nechami is obviously worried about something. If it was just Artaxasta is just asking like a nice friend, what's going on? Why is Nechami so worried? But so Nechami is very worried. Va'omar lamelech, so I said to the king, first thing out of his mouth is, Hamelech lo'olam yechya, the king shall live forever. Meaning, you know, yeah, exactly. However, he says, and now, he brings it up, it seems, for the first time. Madua lo yaru panai, but why should I not, or how could I not, you know, be sad, have a fallen face? Asher ha'ir beit kivrot avotai chareva, the city, it's an interesting way how he formulates it, the city of that you know, holds the graves of my fathers is destroyed. Ushaareha uklubaish, and its gates have been burnt by fire.
Devoured.
Yeah, devour, exactly. Yeah.
Is this the first time Nehemiah has come for the kings in the last 4 months?
No, I assume not. So I don't, you know, why? So he hasn't said, he didn't want to bring it up yet.
Right.
And why is it that now suddenly? Is it only now his face looks different, or only now Artaxasta notices it? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Nisan, right? Pesach's coming. He's thinking about it more.
Yeah. I hear. Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe he's has made a decision that he's going to approach the king and talk about this, and he's like,
or maybe he's struggling about it. I mean, he's it's very interesting. But maybe it's very interesting. Maybe Nisan has something to do with it. For some reason, either Nisan is getting more depressed, or Nisan he realizes I need to do something. But he's not sure how to do it, and it's like going on inside of him, and it shows on his face. That's very interesting. I like that a lot.
Son, did the Jews in Babel or Paras
did they make Aliyah Regel to Yerushalayim to bring Korban Pesach now that there was a base on Mikdash?
Maybe a few did, but I assume not really.
I see.
I assume at least. I don't know. I mean, we do see people are traveling back and forth because that's how Nehemiah begins, that a group from Israel came to Shushan. So I guess some did, but again, just from the general depiction we get, it's just Yerushalayim was not doesn't sound like they're hosting huge crowds every Pesach.
And it sounds like it's Bederach Rechoka. It's a long trek. So
yeah, again, I don't remember when Ezra said it took them 5 months to walk. Maybe a smaller group would take longer.
Yes.
But
they didn't.
Right, if you go and come back. You know,
they didn't have the obligation of Aliyah.
Yeah.
But the obligation was still there.
For those living there, yes. I mean, everyone living in Yerushalayim in the area should have been bringing Korban Pesach. I don't know if maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but they should have been.
But I'm saying outside of the land of Israel, you'd still be obligated to.
I think we assume if you're living outside the land of Israel, then.
And the Rosh Chodeshim, how were they communicating?
I mean, you can, and it's absolutely
possibility. The Rosh Chodeshim, if there was a Sanhedrin, were they sitting and declaring the new month? Was that communicated all the way to Basel? I mean, could it be?
Yeah, fires.
Yeah,
the fires could reach that far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Melech Basar Vadam, human king, always wants to be surrounded by people. Cheer him up.
Yeah.
Hashem is the only king who allows people to be around him who are crying out to him. You have to be around, cheer me up, you know.
I hear.
You know, and so if he detected even a slight diminution in that, in Nehemiah, whose job was to cheer up the king after he was pouring his wine, that was noticeable.
I hear.
Stuck out.
Okay. Yeah. What else was I going to say? A few other comments in this pasuk. The phrase "ear beit kivod avatai." So again, the mafarshim, some take that literally, meaning it meant maybe his parents or his grandparents or literally were buried there. Again, or generally, meaning my ancestors. And I saw one recent person writes that, you know, that's interesting that the way he describes Yerushalayim, like in a very personal way, meaning he's not saying like, oh, the capital city of my people, right? It's right. It's like my family, right? My personal family ancestor city. And again, maybe that might have been because, again, he doesn't want to imply we're trying to make some breakaway province. And that's not why I want to go and rebuild it. It's just like, it's disgraceful that, you know, the city where my parents and grandparents are buried is, you know, like in ruins. Vayomerli Hamelech. So again, now, what did Nehemiah respond? Nehemiah said, what do you want from me? How can I not be upset? You know, Yerushalayim, the city of my ancestors, is in ruins. Vayomerli Hamelech. So the king says to me, Almaze atamavakesh. So he realizes the Nehemiah wants to. So what do you want? So what is the pasuk in Megillas Esther?
Das mazev al mazev
anafatia malchus.
Is that something like what is the pasuk on the bakesh? So it's right. So al mazev atam mevakesh. Va'et palel elokei hashamayim. So he's saying, so at that moment, meaning his mind, he whispers, you know, or thinks a prayer to God. And I say to the king, Im al hamelech tov. Again, I think there's exactly. Yeah. Right. So if he'll be good to the king, and if your servant, if I will be good before you, Asher tishlacheni el Yehuda, please send me to Yehuda, El ir kivrot avotai, to again the city of where my ancestors are buried, that ev nena, and I will build it. Vayomer li amelech, and so the king says to me, the hashegel yoshevet etzlo, and the queen was sitting next to him. That's a bit of a mystery why this mentions this at all. So if you have any interest,
or why it mentions it now?
Exactly. Yeah.
happens. The camera like pans right.
You know? Okay, very good. Shagal. So I saw, apparently it really is also a Persian word for queen. It means like the highest queen.
Is it related to the, there was a song when I was Shogia in Snow White?
Yes, no.
Shogia in Kohagamadim.
I don't know.
What is it?
Hebrew? Hebrew? Chazal, Chazal say though, Chazal read it as like a very, you know, in a very negative way, like more of like a concubine. Yeah.
In one of the Tochichos, I forget, there's a word that we don't
read. It's that same word, yeah, which basically means like sexual promiscuity.
Right.
Tishagelna. It's the same Shoresh. So right. Chazal read it that way. Apparently in the Persian, it doesn't mean that necessarily, but that's how Chazal read it. So she's sitting next to him, and he says, "Ad mataya mahalachecha umatay tashuv." She says, "Okay, how long do you want?" Va'ita lufnei hamelech va'yishlacheni, and so it was good for the king. He agreed, and he sent me va'etna lozman, and I gave him a time. He doesn't tell you right down how much, but I said, "Okay, give me 2 years, or whatever it is." I mean, just with the journey, he needs a certain amount of time. Give me 2 years, and the king says, "Fine, go." Let's just continue and we'll come back to our shegel. Va'omar la'melech, and so I said to the king, im al ha'melech tov, and if it also be good for the king, igro yitnu li, again, give me these letters, al pachavot evar nar, that I can give to the governors of that area, asher yaviruni, ad asher avo el Yehuda, that I can pass through and not pay any taxes, no one harm me until I get all the way to Yehuda. Ve'igeret el Asaf, and you should also send a letter to Asaf. Now Asaf is a Jewish name, so it sounds like he's also a Jew. Yes, I'm not sure same as that, but yeah, correct. V'yigeret el Asaf, and also write a letter to Asaf, Shomer HaPardes Asher LaMelech, who is the, you know, official who oversees the orchards of the king. So again, it's another Jewish person with some high position. Asher Yitain Li Eitzim Likrot et Sha'arei Habira Asher LaBayit U'lechomat Ha'ir V'labayit Asher Avoy Lav, that he should provide for me, you know, really good wood to cut down and to build for me the gates of some sort of tower. They translate it a little differently, or some sort of
he's bringing this from Persia to
Shalai? Persia or somewhere along the way, okay. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like it. Yeah, some sort of, you know, yeah, castle says it's some sort of, you know, meaning apparently in Yerushalayim, some sort of like David's Citadel, something like that, or there was something like that. And for the walls of the city, and for the Beis HaMikdash itself, or the maybe the offices of the Beis HaMikdash, that I'm going there. And the king gave it to me, as Hashem's hand was good upon me. That's the phrase that we found in Ezra as well. And I went, and I could go by the governors, the officers, Vedna Lahem, et Igrot HaMelech, and I give them the letters of the king. Vayishlachni mi HaMelech, Sarei Chayil, Uparashim. The king even provided for me an armed escort, soldiers and horsemen. Exactly. So right. So that was the one thing Ezra didn't get. So if you recall, each wave seems to be, right, the king is always giving more and more. And part of that is to give you sort of a sense, like as the book is progressing, where slowly things are getting better. So I think the first, you know, of Korah said you can build, and he also provided some material. And then I think there was another letter of Daryavish, maybe that, I forget, that was, it was even better that maybe he commanded, so it was something that was better. And then the next one, Ezra was better, because Ezra also was given political power, like you said. He said, I'm also appointing you as like the governor. And now Nehemiah is getting, you know, also the soldiers of the king. So you know, that I think symbolically sort of might also stand in that things are getting better. Okay, we're gonna hold off on the last passage till next time, actually. But yeah, any
you know, the fact that they use language from the people at Esther, I mean, it can't be by accident. I mean, they're trying to teach it something.
Yeah, so many people, I have to think, we can think about it more, there is something to contrast, and again, it's very similar scenes, I mean, it's Esther and Nehemiah both going to the king, or speaking to the king, with like a really critical request, that they're both really worried, right? Esther is asking just for their own safety. She doesn't ask, you know, Chazal say actually, she specifically didn't ask for Yushalayim.
What she really gets is that they do allow to defend themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
But today's world, we realize that's a small thing.
Right. Whereas Nechemiah is asking to go to Yushalayim. Why the queen is there? I don't know. Any thoughts or comments?
So the power is Esther a little bit. Esther's the one who convinces that she's in the position. Mordechai is the one prompting all this, and she's sort of the one who actually convinces the king that this is what you should do. So
I saw some people
quoting Esther. You know,
I hear
the same way. It could be along those lines.
I hear. Yeah. So So I saw some people say that we don't really know what, but apparently it was some hint that the queen also was sort of an encouraging voice in the king's ear. You know, yeah, you should let him do it.
Or would the king have been more likely just to let him go, and the queen's saying, "How long are you going? For how long? You better be coming back." It seems also to suggest, further along the same track, that Nehemiah clearly understood the intricacies of court politics.
Mm-hmm.
He understood that the king doesn't make the decision, but the queen makes the decision. And so he got them. He knew how to orchestrate it, that he made the decision, but she was there basically having made the decision. Said, yeah, do this.
Maybe this is why it took 4 months.
Excuse me?
Maybe this is why it took 4 months, that he was waiting for
the right
people to be in the room.
Exactly. Because if he hadn't set it up and she didn't agree, he wouldn't have said it. And certainly wouldn't have provided an on-guard.
Also, it gives the king a chance to show off a little in front of the queen.
Look at
how magnanimous he is, you know? And,
yes, I am the king.
All right. Wonderful. Okay, good evening, everyone. So I was going to say we'll pick up next week, but are we next week would be 8:30, starting at 8:30. Is that getting too late?
I'll be in a different time zone.
Well, yeah, I'm happy to compete. Will people make it at 8:30 or it's?
Yeah, I think definitely next week.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so next week at 8:30.